Hello, my name is John Hill. I'm one of the elders at Capital Community Church. It's my pleasure to bring you our fifth sermon in the series on Ephesians, the New Humans. I'm going to start with a little story today. When I was in high school, I was attending church one Sunday with my family, and one of the ladies in the church, she was a friend of one of my friends, or she was the mother of one of my friends. She came up to me and just got right in front of me at church and grabbed my attention. And she said, "Jesus would have me say to you, when the hard times come, remember me, remember my blood." And I remember that like it was yesterday, very, very clearly, those words. And I've reflected over the years many, many times on those words. And it's true, when we have difficult times, we can turn to Jesus. We can remember that that he died, that he sacrificed himself in order to bring about our salvation and our joy, even in the midst of hard times. And that's kind of the theme for our sermon for today. So let's go ahead and continue. First, a little review. You recall in Ephesians 1, Jeff started the series with an introduction, and then he jumped into the first chapter and he talked about the blessings that we have from being in God's family. We have the blessing of adoption, we have the blessing of redemption, which is how Jesus took away that burden of sin that we could absolutely not get rid of ourselves. And we also have the blessing of inheritance, of being co-heirs with Jesus in the family of God. And then in the next sermon, we looked into the ideas of identity and privilege and power, and how those are big topics in our society today. And they would have been big topics as well for the Ephesians, and how we really need to be looking at identity, privilege, and power through the lens of Jesus, and that he is the most important part of our identity if we are his followers, and that privilege and power that we have actually come through knowing him. In Ephesians 2, David gave a sermon where he reminded us that God chooses us because of his love and grace toward us, not because we deserve it. And last week we heard from Jeff again, and he was talking about how God intends for the church, which is us as Christ's followers, to be diverse and yet unified in Christ. Paul was speaking specifically to the Gentiles in Ephesus, and he was talking to them about how they were co-heirs. They were also part of the legacy that God wanted for his people, the Jews. The Gentiles were now also included and unified under Christ as part of the church. In this series, we've been talking about our backpack. These are ideas that we bring with us as we come to learn from Scripture. What kinds of things are in your backpack when it comes to these questions? If God loves us so much, then why is life so difficult and painful sometimes? Do you find it difficult to talk about your own suffering? Why? Pause the video now and spend a little time answering those questions, and then you can restart the video. These are clearly very difficult questions. In fact, the first one, why is life so difficult and painful if God is a loving God? This is one of the questions that really is a stumbling block for many people and causes them to not believe in God because they can't answer that question in a way that satisfies them. So as we go through our sermon today, as we go through and think about what Paul is saying, we're going to be looking to see how he answers these questions and how he goes about dealing with his own suffering and puts it in the perspective of God's purpose for his life. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. So if we paraphrase what Paul was saying in those verses in the beginning of chapter 3, here's how we can break that down into some simpler ideas. Paul says very clearly, I am in prison. This is not a good place for him to be. He's acknowledging that he is in a difficult situation, experiencing hard times. He also says very clearly, God has given me insights and purpose, and that purpose is to invite Gentiles into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is no longer just for the chosen Jewish people. It is also now open to non-Jews. And this is his mission, is to spread that word and to invite Gentiles into the kingdom of God, into the church. Paul also says again, I am unworthy. He says he's the least of all the saints. But he acknowledges that God's grace and power is enabling his work. He couldn't do his work without God's grace and power. Paul says, God is using me to teach you, the Ephesians, the Gentiles, the mystery of Christ and to bring you into the church. That mystery was that salvation, adoption into God's family is not just for the Jews, but it is also for the Gentiles. So God is using Paul, and he recognizes this, that his purpose in life is to teach the Gentiles the mystery of Christ and to bring them into the church. Paul also says that the church will make God's wisdom known to even the heavenly authorities. So there's sort of this chain of ideas that's happening. If we go to the previous point, God has given insights to Paul. Paul is giving those insights to the church, saying you should be inclusive, you should be diverse, you need to be Jews and Gentiles living in harmony together. And then as that kind of church, where you're living in harmony with peace and love and forgiveness, and you're known that way, then you will be making God's wisdom known beyond the church, to heavenly authorities, to other people on earth. But the church will then make God's wisdom known. And Paul also says, this is all part of God's plan. From the beginning, Jesus as our Lord makes all of this possible. And we are part of this plan. And Paul is saying, I am part of this plan. You are part of this plan. We should take some comfort in the fact that God has a plan. This is not just unfolding randomly or by chance, but there is purpose to the way things are going. And the best part for us is that we, as Christ's followers, as his chosen people, we get to confidently connect with Jesus. We can pray and we can know that our God is listening. We can connect with him and say, Jesus, enter into us, live through us, and he will. That is something that we can do with confidence. We can invite him in. He invites us to connect with him, and we can respond. Paul says, he says very clearly, so, and he's talking again to the Ephesians, so don't lose heart just because I am suffering. He's trying to give them perspective. Clearly, there must have been concern on the part of the people in Ephesus because they knew that Paul was in prison. And he says again, yes, I am suffering, but I don't want you to lose heart because all of these other things are also true. And he says in the end, this is all so that you can be glorified. And if you connect this with the verses that will come in our next passage that we'll be talking about next week, it's clear that what he's saying is you can be glorified because Jesus is being glorified by everything that's happening. So these are the messages, and I've done some highlighting here that will go along with 3 points that I'm going to be making. The first one is the yellow sections. And essentially, Paul is saying here, I go through hard times. Right now I'm in prison. I'm quite unworthy. You know, God picked me to do this, but he had to do this by, I was actually persecuting Christians in my past. He's got to be thinking these thoughts, but so I am completely unworthy. God actually allowed me to suffer. He made me go blind for a while in order to get my attention and to change my life's path. I am completely unworthy. God was the one who, you know, turned this around for me and actually gave me purpose. Again, at the end in yellow there, I've got, he clearly says, yes, I am suffering. So that's sort of the theme here. Paul is saying, you know, this is not about me. It's not about me being wealthy or powerful or, you know, having special abilities. I'm in prison. I'm unworthy. I am suffering. So any of this success isn't about me. It's about Jesus. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And then the green parts here are all of the things that Paul says that sort of give perspective and give hope and purpose in spite of the fact that he's in really difficult circumstances. He's got a clear sense of mission. He has God's grace and power working in his life, and he sees all of that. And because of that, he's not thrown off by his difficult circumstances because he can see the bigger picture. He can see all of the benefits of being in God's will. And then the last thing he says is, all of this is happening. My suffering, plus all of these other great things that are happening, and these purposes, and this understanding and wisdom that we're getting, and that we're going to be able to spread throughout the world, all of that is happening because then we will be glorified. You, the Ephesians, will be glorified, and you get to be glorified because Jesus is glorified through all of this. And because you are heirs, you have the inheritance like Jesus does, then his glory is your glory as well. So let's unpack. So let's look at this idea of Paul talking about his own suffering. He starts this part of the chapter by saying he's in prison. He finishes by acknowledging that he's suffering. In the middle, he talks about how he is the least of all the saints. Clearly, he is not somebody who has had, you know, an easy go of things. He's had some very, very difficult times, and he doesn't hide that in his writing. He lets the believers in Ephesus know exactly that that's going on, and he also says it's okay. But why would he actually take that time to acknowledge that? Well, why would he feel that it's important to acknowledge his suffering? I think it's because we all suffer and we all have those difficult times. And what he's saying is, yes, this is happening to me and it happens to other people, but God has a purpose for me. And when we tell people about our struggles in that way, then people can identify more easily with us. So here's a question for you to consider. Do you know, do you believe, do you think on a regular basis, my difficult experiences can help other people? It can help build understanding with them, build a sense of connection between myself and them. It can actually increase the faith in other people, their faith in God, when they hear about my struggles in an honest way. That's sort of one of the mysteries. When we become vulnerable, great things come out of that. We can develop deeper relationships with other people. And so Paul doesn't hide this. He honestly acknowledges that, that he is suffering, and he tells the believers that, and he's setting an example of that kind of honest acknowledgement of suffering. And then Paul, you know, he goes and he explains how, even though I'm under these difficult circumstances, my mission is still clear. God's grace and power are evident in my life, and I've got this mission to tell the Gentiles the good news of Jesus and to see them be included into the church. And this is still happening, even though I'm here in prison, and this is amazing. You know, many people, when they have difficult times and struggles, they will use that as an excuse to retreat and to feel sorry for themselves. But Paul, he doesn't do that. He responds, he continues to that respond to the call that God has on his life. He continues to read and pray and consider and think and to understand what it is that God is having for him to do. He talks about the revelation of these mysteries that have been hidden away and that are being revealed to him. You know, I can't help but think, here's Paul who's in prison, and what did he do while he was in prison? He wrote these letters that we still have today. You know, if he hadn't been in prison, then perhaps we wouldn't have these letters. Perhaps he wouldn't have written them, because he would have just gone to visit people directly, and that would not have left the same kind of lasting record of these messages. So him, you know, responding under these circumstances in such a positive way and focusing on the blessing and his purpose really sets such a great example for us, but it has all of these practical benefits for us as well. Paul recognizes that when we are suffering, our dependence upon God grows. That grace that he offers to us becomes so much more real and apparent because it's a living, growing thing in our life at that time, something that we're so dependent on. And it's also an opportunity for us to encourage other people to say, look, God has taught me the value of suffering in this way, and I see that you are suffering in a particular way, and I just really want to encourage you to persist through that suffering and to find God's purposes in it. This is all part of God's plan. It's unfolding. There's meaning and purpose even when we are suffering. When we are having difficult times, and yet we can focus on how Christ is working through us, and we can talk to other people about that, it brings about these real relationships based on forgiveness, based on love, honesty, trust. We have the opportunity to show comfort to other people. We get to be Jesus to other people in these difficult circumstances. And that is an amazing purpose for us, and for us as not just individually, but as a church. So here's the question. Do you know, is this something that you have in your head again on a regular basis, that God wants to bless you, wants to bless us as a church, even while we have hard times? You know, sometimes I think people say, oh, that person is suffering, they've fallen on hard times, so they must have done something wrong. It looks like God has removed his hand of blessing from them. That's not always the case. Jesus is the greatest blessing. And often when we are having those hard times, those are the very moments that Jesus will minister to us the most, when he will seem most real to us individually and also the most real to us as a church. It is many times in the hard times when Jesus becomes more real and more significant, and we find ourselves abiding in him and letting him live through us more meaningfully in those hard times. And then in the last verse, Paul explained how God's people were being glorified through all of this. The result of his own suffering and difficult circumstances, the result of God still using him even in those circumstances to spread the gospel, to fulfill his mission of bringing Gentiles into the church. Yes, he was in difficult times, but he didn't want the Ephesians to focus on that. He wanted the Ephesians to recognize that this is all part of God's plan, that them coming into the church is the unfolding of this mystery and plan that God had, and that they should be rejoicing about that. And as God was being glorified through the expansion of the church, so would God's people, the church itself, be glorified. And it would be this beautiful thing that the world would be able to see. Our glory comes when God is glorified. We share in that glory. When suffering produces humility, when suffering produces compassion, when suffering produces wisdom, when the gospel is being spread, deeper relationships are being developed. People are growing in their spiritual walk, becoming more mature. When we are becoming more dependent on him, when his plan is unfolding and coming to pass, these are all things that glorify God, and we share in that glory. Many times when we suffer, we have a tendency to become very sad, we start to feel sorry for ourselves, we start to feel very discouraged, And that's usually because we've taken our eyes off of Jesus and we're just looking at our circumstances as ourselves. But if we look back to Jesus, then often we will find that there is purpose in the suffering, or we will find purpose in that suffering. Jesus doesn't just redeem us, he redeems situations as well. There can be difficult situations that seem impossible that any good can come out of it. And the miracle is that Jesus will find a way for good to come out of it if we are focused on him, if we're paying attention to his leading. You know, everyone has suffered. I have suffered. You know, one of the kinds of suffering that I have had to deal with, and all of you have had to deal with as well, is that burden of sin. Having that weight of sin in our lives is a form of suffering in itself. We can't escape it. It steals our freedom. It steals our joy. It keeps us from being able to come to the Father with open hands. We feel like we have things to hide, and it's agony. And, you know, that we should suffer with sin, because it's that suffering that causes us to want to get rid of it and to be able to acknowledge our need for Jesus. I have, you know, suffered with issues of health. Many of you may not know, but I have, in my face, I have a problem with a nerve called trigeminal neuralgia that causes pain for me on almost a daily basis. And it's hard for me to find purpose in that. But I think over the years that I've been dealing with that chronic pain, God has taught me some things about what's really important and how to persist through pain, and to be sensitive to other people who are in pain as well. I am not a very patient person. I don't like waiting. When I was in my 20s, I really wanted to be married, and God said, it's not time yet. And he made me wait until I was in my mid-30s, and that was really, really difficult. But I think I also wasn't ready. And it could have been that if I had gotten married earlier, that I wouldn't have been able to appreciate my spouse the way that I do now. God knew what he was doing in making me wait, even though it felt like suffering to me. I can look back now and say that his timing was right. Right now, we're all dealing with separation from loved ones. Many of us are, you know, with COVID-19 keeping us sometimes in countries where we're separated from people that we love. And that's difficult, again, to make sense of that. But that separation is causing us to build other relationships as well. And it's causing us to have different kinds of conversations over FaceTime when we're talking to our loved ones. And it's giving us a different kind of perspective on how much we actually do value those relationships, that we don't take those for granted. Now, in my work, I'm an administrator at a school, and one of the ways that I feel like I suffer sometimes is feeling the burden that other people have. There can be problems in schools like abuse that we learn about that's happening in families, or difficult issues with illnesses, challenging relationships that people are having with each other at work or in families. All of these things come together in schools, and sometimes it's very difficult to work through those relationships with people. But again, this is something that can also be very valuable, because when you have that sense of burden, then there's also potentially a sense of purpose. And God says, I know this is difficult for you to engage with this, but it also is your chance to be, you know, my hands and my feet. Please let me live through you in this circumstance. And then there's also sometimes in my work, a kind of suffering that comes from, I think, not fitting in, from feeling like a bit of an outsider, like there's some exclusion and some conflict with the priorities that other people have in an organization. And I'm sure some of you may feel the same, that you don't feel like you fit in. And for me, one of the blessings of that difficulty is that it does cause me to be drawn into our church all the more, because that the challenges that I feel with at work are not the same kinds of challenges that I feel at church. And I feel like this is a way that God actually helps me to understand and value our church much more. So as we close today, I'd like you to think about just a few other questions. And if you're in a group, perhaps you would be willing to share these, your answers, with someone else. Think of some way that you have suffered. Can you think of ways that God can make sense of that suffering? Is it teaching you something about Him? Is that suffering increasing your dependence upon Him? Is this an opportunity to strengthen relationships by being honest about your suffering? Is it focusing your attention on your identity in Jesus, making your dependence on Him and your identity in Him that much more clear? So take a little while, pause the video, and think about some of these questions. Now, some of you who are listening might be thinking, this just really doesn't make sense. I still don't understand how suffering can be a good thing. This is the mystery of Jesus. It seems so counterintuitive sometimes, but here's what Jesus is saying to all of us. He says, come join me. I will take your burden of sin because I loved you so much that I died to give you freedom from that sin. He says, you will be part of the family of God if you come and join me. You will be adopted. You will be blessed. You will be redeemed. Your new self, I will make you a new self. And your new self will identify with me, with me, Jesus. I will live powerfully through you. And he's, because he's a realist and he doesn't want to sugarcoat things and give you false promises, he says, life will still be hard, but you will be able to see the purpose and blessings within your suffering. And that's going to make all the difference. You will be part of God's plan to love others who are hurting. That's going to bring glory to God and joy to you. And this is his hand of invitation extended to all of us. And I would just encourage you, if you're listening to this and you have not taken this step of saying yes to Jesus's invitation to you, I would really encourage you to do that. Please connect with a mature Christian, one of the elders at our church, or someone else that you know, and talk through this. Talk about some of the suffering that you are experiencing and hear the encouraging messages that Jesus has for you. And I hope that that we can all continually give our lives more and more to Him, to let Him live through us more and more meaningfully every day, and that we will find purpose in that. Let's pray. Father God, we're so just humbled and thankful for this letter that we're getting to study, this letter from Paul to the Ephesians. Thank you for his honesty, for his talking about his suffering and his purpose, and putting all that in the context of your glory. And God, I am just so thankful that we get to be part of your family and to enjoy all the blessings. I pray that you would teach us how to be your children individually and teach us how to be your children in community, as a church, as your church with you as our head. We just want to be the body of your church in every good way that we can be. And I pray that you would teach us how to do that. And I pray that if there are those listening to this message who do not know you, who have not entered into your mystery and your purpose, I just pray that you would be working in their hearts and give them the confidence to find someone to pray with, and that they could start their journey, their amazing journey with you. In Jesus' name, amen.